You're listening to the 12-2 Leadership Podcast. 12 minutes, 2 takeaways, empowering you to pursue excellence in all you do.
Well, hello, and welcome to 12-2, where we say, do not be conformed to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so you'll be able to test and approve what God's will for your life is. My name is Justin, and we'll be together for approximately 12 minutes today, give or take, and we're going to leave with 2 tangible takeaways that will give us confidence, you know, stepping into the new year. Because after all, right, we're coming to the end of another year. Hopefully it's been a good one for you. And as many of us are starting out 2023, we are going to desire to do some things differently than we did in the prior year. And you may want to get more physically fit, or we want to learn how to manage our money wiser, or maybe we want to control our anger more than we have been doing, or encourage the people around us more, or give more generously, or spend more time with God. Maybe you want to start that new hobby or that new business you've been putting off. But whatever it is, we all know that simply wanting it or simply desiring it does not make it a reality, right? And in light of this, New Year's resolutions exist for a reason. And what better time to talk about them than right here, just before we enter into the new year. And as we know, too, New Year's resolutions often have a high failure rate as the year progresses. We usually start out strong, and after a couple of weeks, maybe even a couple of months, things begin to drop off before we end up just kind of admitting, there's always next year. And so I'm here to tell you that you actually don't need a resolution to make those kind of things happen. Now, don't get me wrong. I think New Year's resolutions are a positive thing, and I think they work well for some. And if that's you, by all means, keep going after it. Keep doing what's working for you. But I think the rest of us may could benefit from taking a slightly different approach to this in order to achieve what we desire. And I think a major reason that resolutions often fail is because they focus on changing behavior. And changing behavior requires a ridiculous amount of self-discipline. And an overwhelming majority of us do not have a lot of self-discipline, or at least we have a difficult time exhibiting self-discipline consistently. Excuse me. And I know that because if you and I did, if we did have that self-discipline, we wouldn't be resolving to exercise more, eat more healthy, fill in the blank. We wouldn't be resolving to do those things in the new year because we would have already made it happen, right? So we struggle with self-discipline. Anyway, I have a friend who wanted to start exercising more. And specifically, he wanted to start running more. He would occasionally go for a run every now and then, but it was sporadic. There wasn't really any rhyme or reason to when he would do it. Maybe just waited till he felt like doing it. But he wanted to make it a more regular and consistent part of his life. So he began telling himself, "I am a runner." He began telling that to himself over and over again. He said, "I am a runner." Every day, for multiple times a day, "I am a runner." And then he began dressing like a runner. He put on the sweatpants, he put on the t-shirt, the shoes, you name it. And it don't matter where he was, what day it was, he dressed like a runner. And he would continue to tell himself, "I am a runner." And then because he was dressed like a runner, whenever he had a moment of free time or he felt the urge, he could just drop what he was doing and go for a run. And he began to run more consistently, right? He started spending more time with other people who were also running and who were also running consistently, and he began to go on runs with them as well. And of course, he looked back and realized that he had become what he started telling himself at the beginning, and that was, "I am a runner." He began making that a reality, that he was a runner and he enjoyed running. He even set a couple of personal lifetime records for himself, or he had achieved some things that he never had running before. On another note, my wife loves to read. She has for as long as I've known her. And there's an abundance of books of multiple genres scattered throughout our house. We have several bookshelves. They're in the kitchen, the living room, in the bathroom, in the kids' room, you name it. Our son's bedroom is decorated with the latest children's books, and there's even usually a few library books floating around, from coffee table or end table, you name it as well. And if you were to ask Alex, my wife Alex, if she was an avid reader, she would respond with a resounding yes. In fact, she recently bought a shirt just a couple of days ago that says Book Nerd on it. It's a cool shirt. And she listens to podcasts where they talk about books and they talk about reading books. She listens to audiobooks. She does all those things. And for this year in particular, just this year alone, she has read over 75 books just in this year alone, which is crazy. And what's also crazy is the amount of reading that I do on a regular basis has almost doubled just from like being in close proximity to someone who loves reading because she values reading. I have found that I value reading more as a result. We all know people who are sports fanatics, and here in Athens, Georgia in particular, go Bulldogs, right? I know several people who are college football fans, and more specifically, UGA college football fans, and they can tell you every player's name. They can tell you all of their stats. They can tell you where they were born, where they grew up, where they're from, all that stuff. They can tell you what their favorite restaurant is, favorite color, you name it. And if you were to ask them, like, how and why they know all this, they would say, because they're Georgia Bulldogs, and Georgia football is life. They spend hours reading through online forums and watching ESPN and listen to podcasts and the radio. They've attended every game, even if not in person, and they've definitely attended multiple, some people, all of them, in person at the stadium, right? Throughout the seasons and different seasons. Now, there's a point to all of this, and that's where we're going to shift gears in the spirit of the New Year's. Instead of setting a resolution, because we said you don't need a resolution, right? I want you to take a moment and answer this question. And it's simply this: what would I like to be known for? That's right. What would I like to be known for? Do you want to be known for being more healthy? Do you want to be known for being more physically fit? Do you want to be known for solving problems or being available to people around you or for being more confident, being someone who takes charge? Maybe you want to be known for being more, you know, more generous or being wiser with your money. It doesn't matter what the answer is, but it needs to be clear. It needs to be clear for you. And it's all right if the answer is not currently true for you. After all, it probably wouldn't be something that's true for you if it's something you would like to be known for. And that's why we're here. And we're going to make it happen. And here's how we're going to do it. Now, circling back to the stories I just told, the first thing is we have to experience an identity change, right? We have to experience a change in identity. And that is the first thing that's common throughout all these stories. And no, it doesn't mean you go into a Social Security office, but it does mean that your behavior will follow your identity. And in other words, if you want to do something differently, you have to change who you are. Don't worry, you don't have to have an existential crisis to do this. But something as simple as telling yourself that, hey, this is who I am, can have a major influence in your life. Let's take my friend who started running. He began telling himself, I am a runner. He said over and over every day, I am a runner. He said it out loud. He recognized that his identity had to precede his behavior. My wife doesn't read as much as she does because she's determined to characterize her behavior by reading. She reads as much as she does because she considers herself a reader. And she just enjoys reading, and so she wants to do more of it naturally. You think of the college football fans, right? They will tell you that as a Georgia Bulldog, college football is life. It's just what you do. Like, you take in all this stuff, and they love it. How could you possibly live life differently, right? There is power in identity. So change your identity, change your behavior. That's right. Change your identity, change your behavior. And that leads us to our second takeaway for today, and that is simply that consistency is found in community. Now, I almost said that accountability is found in community because I do think that's true, but I think more importantly, consistency is found in community. And here's what I mean by this. You are more likely to engage in something if you are surrounded by a lot of people who are doing that same something, right? You are more likely to engage in something if you are surrounded by a lot of people who are doing that same something. Some people call this peer pressure, while others call it accountability. But the point is this: you need regular interaction with a healthy group of people who share in your identity. In other words, if you're a runner, you need a group of runners who you regularly run and interact with. Why? Because you're going to feel the pressure of not running when you're surrounded by people who are always talking about running and always going on runs. Community comes in many forms. Like I mentioned earlier, my wife, listens to podcasts. And so she has actually found a community where the people are always talking about books and they're getting excited about reading, and it makes her excited as well. And if you've ever attended a UGA football game in person at the stadium, you know that the energy is just tenfold when you're surrounded by all these people who are cheering on the same thing that you are, as opposed to sitting in your living room and watching it on TV, right? Especially if it's a big rivalry or if it's a close game. And some people find community in person and some find it virtually. But regardless, community plays a vital role in reinforcing identity, which solidifies our behavior. I'll say that again. Community plays a vital role in reinforcing our identity, which solidifies our behavior. Change your identity, change your behavior. Find community, establish your identity, and establish your behavior, right? And it's that simple. You don't need a resolution. You just need an identity, and you need a healthy community. Change your identity, change your behavior, find community, establish your identity, and make the change permanent. The change that you want, the new things that you desire. All begin with a change in identity and finding community. And now that's it. The new year is now in your hands. Do with it what you will. Who do you want to be? And what do you want to be known for? So those are the questions that I'll leave you with today. Who do you want to be? And who do you want to be known for? And that's it. That's all I have for you. Thank you for joining us for another edition of 12-2. I hope you found this talk helpful. If you did, please like and comment below. Or if you already got an answer to, hey, this is who I want to be known for this coming year, comment below. Let us know. We'd love to hear from you. Love to see what that looks like for you. And we'll see you the same time, same place, for another edition of 12-2 next week. Y'all have a good day.